The Big Finish. It's never wrong. The New Zealand Symphony Orchestra performing the overture from Dinor by Meyerbeer. Here's music from Spanish composer and painter Matilda Salvadore. She wrote this for the great Provençal writer Friedrich Mistral, like the famous wind that's blowing through Provence right about now, actually. The one the locals claim can, quote, blow the ears off a donkey, can reach speeds up to 100 miles an hour. It's the prelude from The Homage to Mistral by Salvadori. That's a spooky, patient piece right there by Dejan, performed by Dejan Ivanovich. The Homage to Mistral by Matilda Salvadori. That was the prelude. Rossini hands off to Mercadante, coming up next.
From the University of Kansas, it's your place for NPR News, Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 Lawrence, 91.3 Junction City, as well as online at kansaspublicradio.org. Support for KPR comes from Don and Edie Sneathens of Topeka on their 54th wedding anniversary. Happy anniversary, Edie and Don, from everyone here at KPR, and thank you for your generous support.
Here's a look at the KPR weather forecast. It's 48 and fair. Wind is from the north-northwest at 15 to 20 miles per hour. Tonight, clear with a low in the upper 20s. Wind will be from the north at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Then, tomorrow, clear with a high in the low 60s. Wind will be from the southwest at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, clear with a low in the low 40s. It's 48 and fair.
Stay tuned for more KPR weather. I'm Maria Lopez.
A Italian composer and flautist Saverio Mercadante had the respect of his elders, especially the much more famous Gioacchino Rossini, who once said, "He begins where I finish." Here's the Flute Concerto No. 1 by Mercadante, featuring one of my very favorite flautists, Sir James Galway.
Thank you.
Claudio Simone, conducting I Solisti Veneti, featuring flautist James Galway, performing the Flute Concerto No. 1 by Salverio Mercadante. Barbara Stanwyck's Silent Piano, coming up.
Support for classical music on KPR comes from Kansas City PBS, turning viewer support into educational, arts, and news programming with the Kansas City PBS membership program. More at kansascitypbs.org. And the University of Kansas, serving Kansas and the world through the development of new treatments for cancer, Alzheimer's disease, and more. Information about KU's research is at ku.edu.
Now here's your weather forecast for the KPR listening area. It's 46 and fair. Wind is from the north-northwest at 15 to 20 miles per hour. Tonight clear with a low in the upper 20s. Wind will be from the north at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Then tomorrow clear with a high in the low 60s. Wind will be from the southwest at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tomorrow night clear with a low in the low 40s. It's 46 and fair. That's KPR weather.
Here's one of Franz Liszt's best-known etudes, very popular in film. It's showed up in a number of films, including one from 1947 called The Other Love, directed by a man named André de Toth. And it's played by the actress Barbara Stanwyck. She practiced the piano 3 hours a day for a month just to get it right. So de Toth's office was apparently across from Stanwyck's bungalow during the shoot, and when he could finally stand it no longer, he gave her a silent keyboard to use. The practicing was just too much for him. Here's Jorge Bole with a much better version.
Thank you.
Un sospiro, a sigh, by Franz Liszt. Here's the Romanza Andaluza by Pablo de Sarasate. Romanza Andaluza by Sarasate.
From the University of Kansas, this is Kansas Public Radio. KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence, FM 91.5. KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia, FM 89.7. KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City, FM 91.3. KANQ Chanute, FM 90.3. And online at kansaspublicradio.org.
Now here's your weather forecast for the KPR listening area. It's 46 and fair. Wind is from the north-northwest at 15 to 20 miles per hour. Tonight, clear with a low in the upper 20s. Wind will be from the north at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Then, tomorrow, clear with a high in the low 60s. Wind will be from the southwest at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, clear with a low in the low 40s. It's 46 and fair. That's KPR weather.
Today's lesson is don't listen to the critics. When Tchaikovsky's famous ballet Swan Lake premiered, the critics panned it. It was mostly a failure. But when he was asked to write the music to Sleeping Beauty, he shook off the bad reviews and said, "Okay." Can you imagine where we'd be today without Swan Lake and Sleeping Beauty, two of the greatest ballets ever written? I'm Jake Armitage. I've got the rest of this timeless piece of music coming up.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Ryland Barton. Three commercial ships were struck around the Strait of Hormuz, setting one cargo ship on fire. More than a dozen vessels have come under attack around the strategic waterway since the war with Iran began a week and a half ago, which has brought shipping to a virtual standstill. NPR's Jackie Northam reports.
Maritime monitoring agencies say fire broke out in the engine room of a Thai flag cargo ship after it was struck off the coast of Oman. Iran has claimed responsibility. Two other ships flying Greek and Japanese flags were also hit. U.S. Central Command says it attacked Iranian mine-laying vessels around the Strait of Hormuz, although it's unclear whether Iran has laid mines in the narrow waterway. Iran has warned vessels need permission to pass through the Strait of Hormuz. Hundreds of oil tankers around the strait are idled because of the risk, sending the price of oil skyrocketing. President Trump promised to send naval escorts, but that hasn't happened yet. Jackie Northam, NPR News.
Ukraine has sent its security chief and military representatives to the Middle East to secure defense assistance in exchange for Ukrainian anti-drone expertise and supplies. NPR's Joanna Kikissis reports from Kyiv.
Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky told reporters that his country has the greatest experience in downing Iranian-designed Shahed attack drones. He said countries buying interceptor drones realize they cannot operate them without Ukraine's help. Ukraine uses cheap interceptor drones to hunt and destroy Shaheds, which Russian forces regularly lob at Ukrainian cities. Zelensky said in exchange for interceptor drones and expertise, Ukraine would like supplies for Patriot air defense systems, which destroy ballistic missiles. Joanna Kakissis, NPR News, Kyiv.
Meta, the owner of Facebook and Instagram, says it's cracking down on scammers. NPR's Shannon Bond reports the big tech company has been criticized for making money off the ads.
Meta says online scams are getting more sophisticated. They use AI to create convincing fake accounts and lure unsuspecting users into conversations. And they buy ads that sometimes impersonate celebrities or known brands. Meta says it recently took down 150,000 accounts connected to scam networks in Southeast Asia, which is a hub for organized scammers. Police in Thailand arrested 21 people involved in the scams. Meta says it's also working to increase the number of advertisers whose identity it verifies to reduce abuse. It says it wants 90% of ad revenue to come from verified advertisers by the end of the year, up from 70% now. Shannon Bond, NPR News.
The U.S. stock market remained relatively calm today, even as the price of oil climbed again. This is NPR News from Washington.
If you've seen The Wizard of Oz, then you know there's no place like home. But when it comes to tornado safety, that might not always be the case.
My name is Afiz Badmas. I am a PhD candidate in the Civil Engineering Department here at KU. My advisor is Dr. Elena Sotley. My research aims to reduce tornado losses by improving the performance of residential buildings.
Your research is looking to raise awareness about tornado safety and to make recommendations for building techniques to withstand tornado force winds.
The codes available right now do not incorporate tornado provisions for residential buildings. Most of the homes we live in are not designed to resist any form of tornado intensity. We are trying to develop a risk-informed framework to see that if we improve our residential buildings to withstand some EF intensity of tornadoes, we might be able to reduce these losses.
What are some specific recommendations?
My research focuses on how to make the roof connections very, very intact, and that's by providing hurricane clips instead of the traditional toenail connections, improving the roof sheeting cover, improving the nail schedule instead of 12 inches spacing, using a 6 inches spacing along the edges and the field.
Your research has shown that in areas where these techniques are used, construction costs are about 5% more, but those costs can be recouped in the forms of higher resale values and insurance discounts.
These techniques have been applied in hurricane-prone regions, and they can definitely be applied here as well.
For more information about graduate research, visit graduate.ku.edu or our website at kansaspublicradio.org. For Research Matters, I'm Steve Kincaid.
Hi, I'm Jake Armerding. So glad to be listening to music with you. Back in the 1800s, the divertimento was music that should be pleasing to the ear and doesn't stir the listener's emotions in any particular way. Basically, background music, elevator music, music for washing the dishes. Well, Mozart had a hard time writing background music. He was more of a foreground music guy. So here's his version of a divertimento.
Thank you.
Pinchas Zukerman, conducting the National Arts Center Orchestra. That was the Divertimento No. 1 by Mozart. Composer Amy Beach was a synesthete. It means that your senses, at least two of your senses, sort of intermingle with each other. Your brain is moving its thoughts through itself in such a way that it grabs another sense almost by accident. So you could be reading about pie and actually start tasting pie. Somebody sign me up for that. Reminds me of that great Jack Handy line. If you have to choose between heaven and pie heaven, choose pie heaven. Maybe it's not real, but if it is, boy. Hey, tomorrow's pie day. In Beach's case, she heard musical keys as colors. She heard A flat major as blue. C major was white. Every key sort of had its own color. It was amazing. Here's one of her earliest works, the Valse Caprice, in the key of yellow, better known as the key of E. That's Joanne Polk performing the Valse Caprice by Amy Beach. That was premiered in 1889 by Beach herself. The Failure at Swan Lake, coming up.
From the University of Kansas, it's your place for NPR News, Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 Lawrence, 99.5 Manhattan, and always online for you at kansaspublicradio.org. Support for classical music on KPR comes from Delicious Del Sur, now hosting private events and offering catering for any occasion, featuring a variety of South American flavors. Located at 724 Massachusetts Street, more at Delicious Del Sur's Facebook page.
I'm Maria Lopez. Now here's your weather forecast for the KPR listening area. It's 40 and fair. Wind is from the north at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight clear with a low in the upper 20s. Wind will be from the north at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Then tomorrow clear with a high in the low 60s. Tomorrow night clear with a low in the low 40s. It's 40 and fair. For the latest Northeast Kansas weather, keep it here at KPR all the time.
Where would we be, I ask you, without Tchaikovsky's Sleeping Beauty? The answer is nowhere. At all. Would you believe all bets were against it after the critical failure of his first ballet, Swan Lake? They're now considered two of the greatest ballets ever written. Moral of the story, don't listen to the critics. And now you mention it, maybe don't listen to popular opinion either. Just make sure to secure funding. Thank you. Snema Yervi, leading the Scottish National Orchestra in the Bluebird Pas de Deux from Sleeping Beauty by Tchaikovsky. Here's the English composer and conductor William Alwyn with his Pastoral Fantasia.
Thank you.
The Royal Liverpool Philharmonic Orchestra, featuring violist Philip Dukes. That was the Pastoral Fantasia by William Alwyn. Coming up, Stravinsky's wife hits the town.
Hi, I'm Mary Louise Kelly. At NPR and this station, we take our democratic role as watchdogs seriously. We hold the powerful to account, and we hold ourselves to a set of core principles: integrity, independence, accuracy, transparency, and respect for the public we serve. This is NPR News.
I'm Maria Lopez. Now here's your weather forecast for the KPR listening area. It's 40 and fair. Wind is from the north at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight clear with a low in the upper 20s. Wind will be from the north at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Then tomorrow clear with a high in the low 60s. Tomorrow night clear with a low in the low 40s. It's 40 and fair. For the latest Northeast Kansas weather, keep it here at KPR all the time.
So what's the first thing you do when you move to L.A.? Well, you hit the secondhand bookstores, of course. Or you did back in 1941. That's when Igor Stravinsky's wife found a collection of Norwegian folk songs in a bookshop and showed it to him. And this is what came out, The Four Norwegian Moods.
Thank you. Thank you.
From the University of Kansas, this is Kansas Public Radio. KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence, FM 91.5. KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia, FM 89.7. KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City, FM 91.3. KANQ Chanute, FM 90.3. And online at kansaspublicradio.org.
I'm Maria Lopez. Now here's your weather forecast for the KPR listening area. It's 40 and fair. Wind is from the north at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight clear with a low in the upper 20s. Wind will be from the north at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Then tomorrow clear with a high in the low 60s. Tomorrow night clear with a low in the low 40s. It's 40 and fair. For the latest Northeast Kansas weather, keep it here at KPR all the time.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Ryland Barton. The U.S. will release 172 million barrels of oil from the Strategic Petroleum Reserve to help stabilize world markets. That's part of a coordinated release of stockpiles from 32 different nations, which was announced earlier today. NPR's Camilla Domonoske reports.
The countries in the International Energy Agency have unanimously agreed to their largest ever release from emergency stockpiles. Here's IEA Executive Director Fatih Birol.
IEA countries will be making 400 million barrels of oil available. I repeat, 400 million barrels of oil available.
Nearly 40% of those barrels will come from the U.S. reserve, released gradually over the next 4 months. Experts say tapping into stockpiles can only partially address the disruption of oil trade caused by the war with Iran. Camilla Domonoske, NPR News.
The U.N. Security Council is condemning Iran for launching missiles and drones at Gulf Arab countries. Russia and China argue that the council should also be criticizing the U.S. and Israel for launching the war, as NPR's Michelle Kellerman reports.
Russia and China abstained, allowing the resolution drafted by Bahrain to pass. U.S. Ambassador Mike Waltz says it had a record number of co-sponsors, 135 countries, and a sign of just how united the world is against Iranian missile and drone strikes.
Iran's strategy of sowing chaos, of trying to hold their neighbors hostage, has clearly backfired, and that was shown by this vote today.
Russia's ambassador proposed a different text, but that one failed. Vasily Nebenzia says countries didn't muster enough strength to call out those who started this war, the U.S. and Israel. Michelle Kellerman, NPR News, the State Department.
President Trump took aim at Congressman Thomas Massie during a rally in Kentucky today. He's the Republican detractor of the president who's up for re-election. Kentucky Public Radio's Sylvia Goodman has more.
Appearing in Hebron, Kentucky, which is in Massey's district, Trump called the congressman, quote, the worst person.
Thomas Massie is a disaster for our party. He comes from a state that I won by a landslide, got the highest vote in the history of your commonwealth.
Massie, a fiscal hawk, voted no on Trump's major tax and spending package, the One Big Beautiful Bill. He's also pushed for the release of the Epstein files. More recently, Massie supported a war powers resolution to require congressional approval before Trump pursues further military action in Iran. It failed. Trump heavily promoted former Navy SEAL Ed Gallrine, Massey's primary challenger. For NPR News, I'm Sylvia Goodman in Hebron.
Inflation stayed elevated last month as gas prices rose, and those prices are expected to push inflation even higher when data for this month is released in early April. This is NPR News. Lyft has agreed to protect the rights of blind and disabled riders to travel with service animals under a Minnesota settlement that applies nationwide. State officials announced the deal in the case of a college student who said that drivers repeatedly refused to let her service dog ride along. The Minnesota Department of Human Rights says Lyft now has to train drivers on disability rights and warn them they can lose access to the platform if they violate the law. Britain is ending hereditary seats in the upper house of parliament. The move ends a tradition dating back centuries, as NPR's Lauren Freyer reports from London.
They're called hereditary peers, and all 92 of them are white men with an average age of about 70. They've inherited their seats in parliament, many by male-only bloodlines that go back centuries. There used to be more of them in the more than 800-seat House of Lords, but reforms back in 1999 capped their numbers, and now hereditary peerage is being eliminated altogether. In a compromise reached by political parties, they will be able to sit in Parliament through the end of the current session, which is likely in May. And some of them will be able to keep their seats until they die, but will not be able to pass them on to descendants. Lauren Freyer, NPR News, London.
An old NASA science satellite has plunged to Earth. The Van Allen Probe A crashed down in the Pacific west of the Galapagos Islands. Launched in 2012, it flew through the Van Allen radiation belts that surround Earth, studying them for 7 years before ceasing. Its twin, the Van Allen Probe B, is still orbiting Earth, but no longer functioning. You're listening to NPR News from Washington.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include the Pew Charitable Trusts, sharing about the state of housing in America on the After the Fact podcast, available at pewtrusts.org/afterthefact, and the Doris Duke Foundation.
The Vancouver Jazz Orchestra kicking off tonight's Jazz in the Night. The new album, Vancouver Jazz Orchestra Meets Brian Charette, for you here on Kansas Public Radio. And that featured Brian Charette on organ and Steve Kaldestad on tenor sax. Kaldestad wrote it, called it Equestrian Interlude. Well, it's Wednesday night. It's the 9 p.m. hour. It's time for our weekly new release spotlight. I'm Bob McWilliams, and so appreciate you joining me this evening as I'll play you two tracks each from four of the best new albums in jazz, including in a bit a pianist from Philadelphia, new to me, a young man named James Fernando. We'll hear from his album. And up next, we'll hear from our jazz album of the week, saxophonist Gregory Groover Jr. And the album is called Old New. But new is not spelled N-E-W, it's spelled K-N-E-W, like you knew something was going to happen. Old, new, and a piece called 551 from saxophonist Gregory Groover Jr.
Thank you.
Saxophonist Gregory Groover Jr.'s composition 551, and his album is our jazz album of the week. I'm playing Night this week on Jazz in the Night. It's called Old New, K-N-E-W, the spelling of new. And what a band. That very highly acclaimed young vibraphonist Joel Ross is there, pianist Paul Cornish, bassist Harsh Raghavan, and drummer Kendrick Scott. More from this later in our new release Spotlight Hour. Support for Jazz in the Night on KPR comes from the University of Kansas, serving Canada and the world through social and behavioral approaches to developmental disability research. Information about research at KU is at ku.edu. Well, here is Philadelphia-based pianist James Fernando, and his new album is called Philly 3. And he's got Don McCain playing bass and Dan McCain playing bass and Kyan Williams drums. James Fernando wrote all but one of the tunes, and some of them have interesting titles. We're going to play one of those right now. It's called Beans on Toast. James Fernando on KPR. Pianist James Fernando on KPR, his composition Beans on Toast from his new album Philly 3, with the bass playing by Dan McCain, the drummer Kion Williams, pianist James Fernando, and the album Philly 3, one of the four new releases this week. And this Wednesday night, 9 p.m. hour, new release spotlight hour on Kansas Public Radio. The fourth of those from pianist and arranger Rick Rowe is up next. And then we'll get back to some of the others, or all the others we played, including the Vancouver Jazz Orchestra with special guest organist Brian Charette. Support for KPR comes from Don and Edie Sneathan of Topeka, Kansas, on their 54th wedding anniversary. Happy anniversary, Edie and Don, from all of us here at KPR. And thank you for your generous support of Kansas Public Radio. Rick Rowe's new album is called Wake Up Call. He does not have a big national profile, but he's been a very big deal on the Ann Arbor, Detroit music scene for quite a while. And he's doing another album of the music of Greg Hill, a quite prolific composer, age 79, largely self-taught, and he's been working with lots of the great musicians in the Michigan area to get his music recorded. And I really like this one especially, Wake Up Call, the album, the music of Greg Hill, with Robert Hurst bass, Nate Wynn drums, Marcus Elliott sax. And this is a tune composed by Greg Hill, arranged by Rick Rowe, and it's called The Ringer. pianist and arranger Rick Rowe, with a composition of Greg Hill called The Ringer, the new album Wake Up Call, bassist Robert Hurst, saxophonist Marcus Elliott, drummer Nate Wynn, with Rick Rowe. More from this later as we cycle through our four albums to hear you get a second listen, a second track from each of those, as we'll do the rest of this hour here on KPR. We're here and we are Kansas Public Radio from the University of Kansas, 91.5 Lawrence, 91.3 Junction City, online at kansaspublicradio.org. Well, here's the Vancouver Jazz Orchestra, really terrific big band, and there's a lot of talent in the Vancouver, Canada scene. But they brought in a ringer, I guess, or a special guest. The album is called Vancouver Jazz Orchestra Meets Brian Charette, the outstanding organist from New York City. So he joins the band, and we're going to hear them do the one piece on the album that was not written originally by a band member. It's Herbie Hancock's composition, The Sorcerer, arranged by trumpeter Brad Turner, and featuring Brad and Brian Charette on organ, the Vancouver Jazz Orchestra. Thank you. Herbie Hancock's composition, The Sorcerer, arranged by trumpeter Brad Turner from the Vancouver Jazz Orchestra. It's on the new album called Vancouver Jazz Orchestra Meets Brian Charette, and the soloists were the arranger Brad Turner on trumpet and the guest organist Brian Charette. Here's another from Gregory Groover Jr., our KPR Jazz Album of the Week, called Old New. New is spelled K-N-E-W. And Gregory wrote most of the music on the date, but this is one written by Jason Moran. It's called Retrograde on KPR. next one is Gregory Groover Jr. The new album by the 32-year-old is called Old New, K-N-E-W, the spelling of new. And Gregory wrote most of the music on the album. In fact, he wrote all the music on the album, save the one we just heard, a piece by pianist Jason Moran called Retrograde. Joel Ross playing vibes, Paul Cornish piano, Harish Raghavan, Kendrick Scott bass and drums. We're featuring this every night this week. Gregory Groover Jr. with our Jazz Album of the Week. You know, every dollar makes a difference to KPR. Every gift matters. $5 a month here, $10 there. Some people give $15 or $20 a month or more. Well, it all adds up. Listeners pledging what they can to support the radio station they rely on, the community relies on. If you're not yet a member, I hope you'll join them in really paying for Kansas Public Radio, keeping us on the air, and not just keeping us on the air, but keeping us on the air as a really good radio station. Become a sustainer at kansaspublicradio.org. Here's pianist James Fernando, and this album is called What's the Password? Not this album, I'm sorry. This tune is called What's the Password? James Fernando on KPR. That is pianist James Fernando. He calls that composition What's the Password? It's on his new album, Philly 3. James Fernando with bass and drums by Dan McCain and Kion Williams. Support for Jazz in the Night on KPR comes from the Lead Center, welcoming the Bill T. Jones, Arnie Zane Company, a group that has shaped contemporary dance over the last 40 years. Tuesday, March 31st, 7:30 p.m. Tickets available at lead.ku.edu. We've got one more. In this week's new release Spotlight Hour, it's a piece written by Greg Hill, La Canción. The album is called Wake Up Call, the music of Greg Hill, from pianist and arranger Rick Rowe, joined by saxophonist Marcus Elliott, drummer Nate Wynn, and bassist Robert Hurst. And the tune is called again La Canción on KPR. pianist Rick Rowe's arrangement of composer Greg Hill's composition La Canción, the new album Wake Up Call. Rick Rowe with the music of Greg Hill on KPR.
This is the story of an experiment that backfired.
KPR's virtual cinema A Go Go returns Friday night with another horrifying double feature.
Let me go! Let me go!
From 1940, The Mummy's Hand. And our second big feature, The Hand of Death, where another well-meaning scientist accidentally turns himself into a death-dealing monster.
It's mighty scary.
Admission's free, but you'll need access credentials. Get them at kansaspublicradio.org.
We're here and we are, Kansas Public Radio from the University of Kansas, KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence 91.5, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia 89.7, KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City 91.3, KANQ Chanute 90.3. Listen online at kansaspublicradio.org or tell your smart speaker to play Kansas Public Radio. More jazz after the news. Support for news on KPR comes from Pines Garden and Market, offering locally grown vegetable starts, cool season flowers, seeds, and growing supplies, open daily, North Lawrence. More at pinesgardenmarket.com/KPR. Right after the news, classic Miles Davis from the 1963 album Seven Steps to Heaven. That and more on the way on KPR.
Live from NPR News, I'm Giles Snyder. The U.S. and Israel started attacking Iran nearly 2 weeks ago. Some 2,000 people are believed to have been killed, with Lebanon's death toll from Israeli strikes climbing to more than 600. The Israeli army is hitting southern Lebanon and the suburbs of Beirut as it targets Hezbollah strongholds. NPR's Hadil Al-Shalchi reports that humanitarian groups are alarmed.
At the Sports City football stadium on the outskirts of Beirut, nearly 800 people are now crammed into white tents pitched by volunteers. People haven't had access to clean bathrooms and say they haven't showered for days. Samer Safah is the general manager of Mahzoumi Foundation, a nonprofit trying to help equip the stadium to make it more livable. He says resources are very limited.
What we have budgeted for within this year, we cannot cater, okay, for 500,000 displaced.
Safah says organizations like his are feeling the impact of President Trump's cuts to international humanitarian aid, making it difficult to provide essential services to those in need in Lebanon. Hadil Al-Shalchi, NPR News, Beirut.
A British warship, the HMS Dragon, has departed southern England for Cyprus, where a British military base was hit by an Iranian drone. The UK has given Washington limited use of its military bases for the war on Iran, as NPR's Lauren Freyer reports from London.
American B-1 Lancer bombers are thundering over the Cotswolds, a rural area west of London that's home to a Royal Air Force base. U.S. warplanes have been taking off and landing there. Photos show a mini crane carrying huge missiles across the tarmac. Prime Minister Keir Starmer, a former human rights lawyer, has expressed legal concerns about U.S. and Israeli attacks on Iran and has granted the U.S. only limited access to British bases for defensive operations only. But it's unclear how the British government can police that. Lauren Freyer, NPR News, London.
A mixed day for the markets as the price of oil rose again, but inflation held steady. NPR's Maria Aspen reports a Dow dropped and the S&P 500 down slightly. The tech-heavy NASDAQ saw a modest gain.
The global oil supply got some relief from the war with Iran after countries in the International Energy Agency agreed to release strategic reserves. But the price of Brent crude oil still went up, and U.S. stock markets still went down. Investors also shrugged off the latest government data on inflation, which held steady last month, in line with economists' expectations. But that data was collected before the war in the Middle East started driving up gas prices. There was some good news for tech investors. Shares in Oracle soared after Larry Ellison's software company reported earnings that beat expectations and reassured some of Wall Street's ongoing anxiety about an AI bubble. Maria Aspen, NPR News.
This is NPR News. The Trump administration is planning to release 172 million barrels of oil from its Strategic Petroleum Reserve, part of a wider release coordinated by the International Energy Agency aimed at calming energy markets amid the Iran war. The IEA, based in Paris, says it will make a record 400 million barrels available from the emergency reserves of its member countries. The U.S. share amounts to more than 40% of the release. Student loan borrowers could be getting wrong information from the companies that manage their loans. That's according to the Nonpartisan Government Accountability Office. Here's NPR's Corey Turner.
GAO found the U.S. Department of Education stopped two key pieces of oversight under President Trump. One, staff used to listen back to recordings of phone calls between borrowers and call center workers to make sure they were getting accurate information. And two, department staff would do special data accuracy checks because loan servicer records can be pretty unreliable. Before these reviews stopped, GAO found that four of the five servicers failed that data check. The Trump administration says these reviews do not meaningfully measure servicer performance, but department officials told GAO the problem was staff capacity. The review stopped early last year as the administration began cutting the student loan office by nearly half. Corey Turner, NPR News.
The WNBA and its players' union have yet to reach a deal on a new collective bargaining agreement. The two sides started talking again Wednesday afternoon in New York after ending a 12-hour negotiating session early Wednesday morning. Revenue sharing is the key sticking point. I'm Joel Snyder, NPR News.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include Fisher Investments. As a fiduciary, Fisher Investments is obligated to act in their client's interest. Learn more at fisherinvestments.com. Investing in securities involves the risk of loss. This is NPR.
great Miles Davis quintet from 1963. And the album Seven Steps to Heaven, we heard the Victor Feldman composition Joshua. Victor wrote that while in Miles' band. But he had left the band and a fellow named Herbie Hancock had joined for that recording of Joshua. George Coleman on tenor sax, Ron Carter bass, and also the first recording session of the band with drummer Tony Williams. For you on Jazz in the Night, I'm Bob McWilliams. We've got brand new music from bassist Harvey S. on the way, an album that has the fine guitar playing of Peter Bernstein. New big band music from the Interplay Jazz Orchestra. And up next, it's singer Kurt Elling and the WDR Big Band. The new album's called In the Brass Palace. And this is the Wayne Shorter music, Speak No Evil. And the lyrics added by Kurt Elling, he calls it They Speak No Evil. Kurt Elling and the WDR Big Band here on Kansas Public Radio's Jazz in the Night.
And towers and emptied out alleyways, seeping through city maze. The people made, the people unmade, the generations lighting up our rooms of shade. The people fated, fate to behind you and the four behind them together. Even for those who sleep against the doorways of the harrowing highways. Even then a lighted skyway. Long sleeping on, riding a ream, a reverie stream, a gleam, extreme after the life dream. 6,428, 256, 512, 1,024. The lives of those whose times have come before you lie in wait at the door. More than the stars, you count the people pushing up under the floors and washing up on memory shores. Holding up your history's core, rapes, loves, slaves, lords, fakes, and whores. Massive wars coupled with their joys and pains on a breathless dance floor. Somewhere in your peasant, starving mother, cry for mercy from an overlord. Somewhere one killed another. Somewhere many a past a man arose to save a village just by praying to a god no one recalls anymore. Lived all alone, but for one love that shone. One lucky son sang music pure enough to light the sun. Somewhere an outcast, somewhere one king took a dozen lovers at a single daybreak. The radiation of the past.